Richard Goldstein knows exactly what to make of the Man Show. It's another piece of evidence for what Goldstein calls the rise of the neo-macho man. It's a concept he wrote about as executive editor of the Village Voice. Goldstein thinks that the neo-macho man was born from the ashes of September 11th. He says today you'll find neo-macho men everywhere, from politics to pop culture. And Strangehamps asked him, what appeals to people about the Man Show?
Well, it's sort of right up there with somebody eating maggots on the Fear Factor. its tone actually makes Howard Stern look like Charlie Rose. It's a really bottom-feeding show, and I can't say that it's funny. I mean, I find it poignant, if anything, to look at these skits involving men acting out their fears of women by being aggressive, and then, you know, claiming that it's all a joke. They call it joyous chauvinism. So that's a real oxymoron. I don't know how chauvinism is ever not joyous. It's about supremacy. Of course it's joyous. But the fact is, here you have a real attempt to get people not to actually think about what they're watching. And one of the great advantages of irony is that it allows people to experience pleasures that they otherwise might feel guilty about.
But it gets really tricky because, you know, how seriously can you take it if it is all done as a kind of tongue-in-cheek parody? You know, if a show has, you know, calls its female cast members juggies and has them jump up and down on trampolines wearing sexy negligees, and it's all supposed to be, tongue-in-cheek or a parody, then how seriously can you take it?
I think you should take it seriously. I think you should really look at what is going on there and actually examine what emotions are being exercised and acted out. You know, I mean, I think comedy shouldn't become an excuse to stop thinking seriously. If that's how you react to it, then it's really done its job because it's inhibited serious thinking. I guess the worst thing you can call any American these days is serious. And, you know, that show and a lot of what's on television that really is troubling in many ways has that tone, that ironic tone that basically is designed to inhibit you from really looking at it straightforwardly and from examining your own reactions.
So why do you think irony does that? I mean, you're suggesting irony functions as a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, you know, it's a shelter for liberals that allows liberals to have these feelings and think that they're in on the joke. The feelings, on the other hand, are really out there and they're really being expressed. And, I mean, I'm not for censorship in any way, but I am for examination and criticism. If you don't examine these things, and if you don't give a critique of your own reactions, then they lead you. They actually form the way you behave. And there's such an overwhelming consensus in the culture about these things that eventually they become part of our political reality.
Now, you've argued that the Man Show represents a rebirth of macho culture or neo-macho culture. Is there any other evidence for the rise of neo-macho?
It's present in every form of entertainment, and every demographic has its own version of it. So, for example, you have slasher movies for one demographic. You have Michael Douglas beleaguered male movies for another. You have French art films about rape for a third demographic. In music, you have not just Eminem, but the entire field of gangster rap virtually involving this. And increasingly, older people are being attracted to this as it becomes the sort of official symbol of male sexuality. And then you have the sort of enshrinement of Eminem as the kind of major icon of male retrenchment. In other words, a hyper-masculine, bitch-slapping, homophobic figure who is taken in by males all over the country and made their own. And he just reflects a trend that had been building for more than a decade. And in my opinion, it's no coincidence that his movie 8 Mile was the number one box office sensation on the week when the Republicans, you know, took both houses of Congress. These same forces that account for Eminem's magical success and his icon status for his generation also, I think, account for the rise of George Bush.
Wait. How do you get to, because there's a lot of people would see a real big gulf between Eminem and George Bush.
Well, there is. I mean, I think there is in terms of political ideology, although I suspect Eminem would approve of a tax cut for estates. You know, I think he'd go for that. But other than that, I'm not saying that Eminem is a Republican. I'm saying that the anxieties produced by the rise of feminism that created Eminem also created George Bush. and that he was able to project a hyper-masculine image and to succeed in sort of tarring Al Gore with the wuss brush. Those same forces heightened after 9/11 and sort of lending themselves to a kind of panicky reaction to 9/11 created the need for a strongman. And Eminem is a cultural strongman. Bush is a political strongman. And now we see the consequences of this kind of reasoning.
Why do you think of Eminem as growing out of a reaction to feminist culture? I mean, I guess I had thought of if Eminem grew out of anything, it would have been rap music.
Gangster rap. I mean, rap music and hip-hop are very broad terms, and they cover a lot of different attitudes and ideologies. But gangster rap, as a music, one of its paramount features was bitch slapping. You know, it really was a major part of that music. That is the scene that Eminem grew out of. He kind of fused that scene with punk. And I think, though he's very talented as a performer, he wouldn't have been as iconic as he now is were it not for his negative attitudes, extremely violent attitudes toward women. There are many references in his songs to rape and all sorts of, murdering women, including his mother, setting his buddies loose on his 10-year-old sister as a birthday present to her. And, of course, horrifying stuff about gay people, which goes along with this. It's the same set of anxieties. And so I would say that the anxiety that many men feel at the rise of women's power is so profound and so formative that it expresses itself in culture and also in politics. And just bear in mind that Eminem's main audience is suburban white teenage males. And these are the people who've really grown up with feminism in the home, in the school, and in the workplace. And I think it has made an enormous impact in an area that is very primal and seldom talked about, and that these things are expressing themselves throughout our political and cultural life.
I think it's not so unusual for a culture at a time of crisis, a 9/11, to turn to some sort of very strong political figure. One of the things I found rather bizarre recently was there was a piece sometime within the last year in the Wall Street Journal about that specific photo op when George Bush appeared in the flight jacket on the deck of the Navy ship. And the piece in the Wall Street Journal said that it was written by a woman who said that she found George Bush extremely sexy at that moment. That piece got a lot of flack because there were plenty of other women who did not see George Bush as a hottie. But what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think macho can be sexy. I think Eminem is sexy. And I think George Bush was sexy at that moment. But that's because macho plays off very primitive and primal ideas about masculinity, including sadism. And those forces are part of human sexuality. Other things are sexy, too. And they do resonate in the imagination, these images. And they do cross over into politics, precisely because they're never addressed in politics. No one ever does a political analysis that deals with these libidinal currents. And so they're free to exercise themselves and to be acted out, and no one really has to examine them or encounter them. And I think that's very dangerous myself.
Why do you say that nobody does an analysis? Because, I mean, we were talking about Eminem and rap music, and, I mean, Eminem has been blasted certainly by parent groups, if not by other
right.
groups.
As far as political analysis goes, I mean, you don't see George Will or Paul Krugman or any of the other writers on politics ever really talking about the libidinal aspect of politics. It's the elephant in the room that nobody will get a grab on. And, well, I mean, look, I work for an alternative newspaper, and our music writers, have bent over backwards to cast him as a kind of good soul, a populist, a man of the people, a racial progressive, a good father. They've just twisted themselves inside out to avoid facing the fact that what he really gives them is sort of softcore male pornography involving a lot of violence against women. You know, that is the fundamental feature of his fame. You know, there are very few people now who step forward and do a real critique of him.
I have heard girls defend this sort of stuff as not so much blatantly sexist as blatantly sexual. That is, you know, I've heard girls say, well, sure, it's okay if guys check us out because we're checking the guys out. In other words, you know, sexuality has become kind of equal opportunity.
Well, you know, there's a difference between sexy and sexist. And sexist can be sexy, But sexy doesn't have to be sexist. And I mean, as far as we check them out too, there is no female equivalent of the Man Show. There's no female equivalent of Sam Kinison. And finally, there's no female rapper who actually talks about cutting up men. I mean, it doesn't happen. I mean, you don't see images of women committing sexual violence against men or, you know, pinning things on male posteriors. It's not on television, it's not in music, and it's not in the movies for the most part. And on those rare occasions when it does show up, it's always because the woman has been raped or there's some kind of logical reason why she would do such a horrible thing. When men commit rape and violence, there doesn't have to be a reason. It just is something that's built into masculinity. This lack of equivalence is finally a part of male supremacy and part of male sadism and why it gets to exercise itself, not just in the culture and not just in dating, but on the world stage, finally. I don't know what terrorism can be about if it's not macho. I don't know what fundamentalism is if it's not a reaction to female power.
Richard Goldstein is executive editor at The Village Voice. He spoke with Anne Strange Champs.